Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 4th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 154, the fourth paragraph that begins with "What about his?" And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Lorraine N., will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are K.P., Deborah S., and Kara L. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday, May 3rd, special edition is 14,549, 14549. And for this morning's Monday, May 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,553. 14553. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M., and Don B. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Shelley E., would you please read the 12 steps for us?
You bet. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, friends. I'm Shelley E., a compulsive overeater from the DFW area of Texas. And these are the steps which are, I'm so sorry, I got lost my place. 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. Have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Lorraine N., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
I sure will. Good morning. Lorraine N. here with the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. I'll pass.
And thank you, Lorraine N. Mm-hmm. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 154. The fourth paragraph that begins with what about his, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, KP, if you would get us started.
Good morning, everybody. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Gratefully recovered just for today. But what about his responsibility? His family, and the men who would die because they would not know how to get well. Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. There must be many such in this town. He would phone a clergyman. His sanity returned, and he thanked God. Selecting a church at random from the directory, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. There's a lot here I can comment on. Please time me. But what about his responsibilities, his family, and the men who would die because they wouldn't know how to get well, those other alcoholics? Well, what if I don't share? Not only will I lose what I've got if I don't give it away, but all those other people that I could have helped may never find the help. They may never learn how. And that's on me. There must be many such in this town. Let's face it, they're everywhere we look. Not just alcoholics, but overeaters and gamblers. Everybody can use these 12 steps in one way or another, I seriously believe. So he decided he would phone a clergyman. Now, where do you think that thought came from? I think it came straight from higher power, straight from God. His sanity returned. And notice that word sanity there. That tells us how far his mind had twisted in the wrong direction just for a moment. But his sanity returned, and he thanked God. He knew his mind had twisted in the wrong direction, and he knew why it got straightened out, too. So he selected a church at random for the directory, stepped into a booth, and lifted the receiver. And we know the rest of that story. We know that that's how he connected with Dr. Bob. I know I'm jumping ahead just a moment, but I'm making a point here. What if he had gone into that bar instead of turning around and deciding to make a phone call to a church at random? How random was that, really? That was not a random call. That was exactly how God wanted it. And as long as we keep our sanity with God's help, the things that we do are going to be just what God would guide us to do, just one step at a time. That's what he did here, just one step at a time, not knowing where it would lead. I'm sure that Bill had no idea when he lifted that phone to make a phone call what the future held because of it. I think it saved all of us listening today. And the ones who are not recovered yet, your recovery is waiting for you just because of that phone call. I'm very grateful for a lot of things, but this is in particular one that's a big grateful for me. It goes on my gratitude list every day. Not just repetition, but seriously meaning it. I thank you all for being here today, and I will pass. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, KP. Yes, we're all here this morning because of this paragraph. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this fourth paragraph on page 154 this morning?
Irene B.
Okay, Irene B. And who came in with her?
Kelly F.
Carrie F.
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Mary Grace H.
Mary Grace H. I can take one more.
Amy
okay,
K.
Okay, well, was that Amy K?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Amy. Okay, I have Irene. I have Irene B, Carrie S, Ginger C, Patty T, Mary Grace H, and Amy K. So go ahead, Irene B.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B, a gratefully recovered bulimic today with God's love, grace, and mercy. I absolutely, I always say the same thing. I love this paragraph. I do. I really love this paragraph because it's the promises fulfilled. When I was in my bulimia, all I knew is that I wanted to eat. I was completely and utterly on automatic, on reflex. The pause, are you kidding me? Pausing? No. I needed to eat and I needed to start ASAP. And there was nothing going to get in the way of my binge. And, you know, they would ask me, well, did you think about it? Did you do this? Did you do that? Well, heck, that implies that I would have paused. Pause? Me? Really? Impossible. Absolutely and utterly impossible. I could have paused as much as I could have gone to the moon. I could not pause. And the promise in the upon awakening, we do all these things, and then all of a sudden we'll have this inspiration, occasional, and then it becomes a way of life. Well, this man had been doing this for 6 months. He had been in connection with God. And I totally believe that God was like me. It's like, He's got a drink. There's nothing stopping him. But for 6 months, this man had been connecting to his higher power. And I strongly believe, I am convinced that it was that daily connection that gave him the power to pause. Now, what he did with that pause, I mean, he could still have chosen to go into the drinking instead of making that phone call. But he paused long enough to think of the circumstances, something that without God he was unable to do. He could not pause. I could not pause. The reason I did not recover from bulimia for 40 years is because I could no more pause than I could go to the moon. I could not use the tools because I could not pause. And it is in this program that I learned to connect to my higher power enough that I can pause today. And that is a beautiful gift and a promise fulfilled. I cannot say that again enough. And I relatively recently, for somebody who's been abstinent for 3 years, quotes and quotes, discovered that upon awakening, those beautiful pages.
Okay,
oh
time,
my
please.
Gosh, how powerful they are. Okay, so I'm just going to continue to pray and connect with God so I can pause and do the next right thing. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. And I think it's Kelly S. I think I said Carrie, but it's
I'm
Kelly
sorry,
S. You're up.
Can I ask what page you're on? I just got into the meeting. I'm sorry to interrupt.
We're on page 154, the fourth paragraph that begins with what about his. And I think it
Thank
was
you.
Kelly. You're
it
right.
is Kelly. It is Kelly.
Okay, sorry, Kelly. And then you'll be
no
followed
worries.
By Ginger. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, guys. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Oklahoma. Grateful to be on the line this morning. Thanks for your service. You know, it's so crazy to me still, even after all this time in program, how God speaks to me, my higher power speaks to me through this literature and the messages I get. Is it odd or is it God? But so I'm working through There's a Solution. And so I'm reading this paragraph today, where we're reading this paragraph, and it's talking about, you know, obviously Bill and wanting to drink and, you know, that he's thinking about, you know, his need to get out of self. And, you know, I was thinking about, I just read, you know, Bill's story. So I started from the beginning, of course. And, you know, he talks about the most important thing is that we get this daily reprieve through the maintenance of our spiritual growth through work and self-sacrifice for others. And not that prayer and meditation is important, because I commit to that every day, but he actually says through work and self-sacrifice with others. So, of course, you know, it's about getting out of self, right? You know, because as we know, this is a very selfish, self-centered disease, and that's the root of my trouble. But the thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, his sanity returned, and, you know, he stepped into the booth and lifted the receiver. So this paragraph I got yesterday that I was reading, and There's a Solution, is talking about that part about, you know, we get to that place, that bitter end. We have only two alternatives, you know, to accept that bitter, the bitter end, you know, blotting out the where the bad places we are, the consciousness of our existence, or accepting spiritual help. And, you know, it goes on to say, this we did because we honestly wanted to, and we're willing to make the effort. And that was the part that really stood out to me when I was writing on this paragraph yesterday. You know, we hear it all the time. It's not about for people who need it or want it, it's for people who do it. So I had to accept the spiritual help, and then I had to be willing to make this effort. Well, that's what this ended with to me, is that he was willing to make the effort. He stepped into a booth, which was hard, and he lifted the receiver. So he took action. You know, he didn't sit there and wait to be zapped like I used to do. He didn't wait for God to just make him all of a sudden okay, make him want to do this stuff. He made a decision to get up. And yes, his sanity returned because, you know, realized, okay, I've got to do the work, right? I, you know, pray to God, you know, rowed ashore. So, you know, it was just funny to me when I read this, when we were reading this paragraph, I'm like, gosh, that so much reminds me of the paragraph I had in There's a Solution. So what does that mean? Guess what? There is a solution, you guys, but we have to take the action. We have to follow the instructions in the book. We have to accept the spiritual help, get out of self, and take the action. So grateful today that I'm willing to listen to that message and take the action. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly S. Ginger C., it is your turn, followed by Patty T.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And, yeah, what kept him out of the bar and get to that phone, you know, to phone that clergyman, but for the act and the grace of God. And so one of my favorite sentences, you know, is I hope they remain to pray. Where is God today? Because without God in my life, I'm screwed. I don't only have food that could return. I have booze, drugs, sex, shopping, codependency. I mean, you name it. I'm just addicted. Any distraction to take me away from God, I'm going that direction. That's my ego. And so where is God? And again, this is a choice I get to make each and every day. When I get up, I wash, rinse, repeat, and I just try my best to stay close and connected because my mind runs amok. And isn't it interesting that thinking rhymes with drinking? Doesn't everything center in my mind and my thoughts? And I got to check in. Where am I going? How am I making thy will be done, you know, instead of Ginger's will? Trying to manage and manipulate the show once again so I can make sure I get what I want or don't lose what I'm afraid of losing. And I just want to share a quick story. You know, this COVID, it's just been so many opportunities to grow with God. We have finally had to slow down in a way that meditation's been doing all along. And our society is just clearly showing how uncomfortable it's been. But the speaker brought it so beautifully last night. I think God got a little upset with how we were, say, so missing the boat, taking the eye off the prize once again, and said, come back home, people. I miss you. I need you. And you have no choice. You have nowhere to go but with you, right? A little uncomfortable having to really be. We're always doing. And so I just had this fear that came over me, this financial fear, because my husband's our breadwinner. And of course, businesses are really hurting today. And I was just always up in my head trying to manage and manipulate and figure out how are we going to pay these bills. And I finally did the most important thing, right? Ask, seek, pray. Where is God, Ginger? How are you letting go of this fear? How are you going to God with it? And I finally did that moment and I took that time. And literally 2 minutes later, I was out on the road when I was doing it and this triple white beetle drove by me. And that is my mom saying hello. She died, my mother-in-law, who was one of my greatest angels. But when I see a rainbow, a double rainbow, a feather, there's just certain ways that she speaks to me, and that triple white beetle, that is a big message. And I just started sobbing because I forgot again how great God is and how I am so okay always, but my head scares the crap out of me. And then don't you know, literally 2 days later, my husband made 5 deals in his business. So again, God is everything or God is nothing. And what is my choice? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Okay, Patty T, we're ready for your share, followed by Mary Grace H.
Thank you, Kathleen. Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Patty T from Southern California, recovering today by the grace of God, one day at a time. I want to talk about his sanity returned and he thanked God. During this COVID thing, I think I got depressed, and I wasn't even aware, you know, just like my food addiction, you know, that disease too is baffling and powerful and insidious, and it just came on a little at a time, and I had no idea, because I take medication for that stuff every day, but I kept doing my tools, right, and it was like pulling teeth. You know, I was still calling my sponsor. I was still going to meetings. I was still reaching out by text and phone calls. I was still, you know, I was doing what I needed to do, almost by rote. But actually, that was the only rest that I felt like I had during the day. Because as some people have already noted, you know, my disease is one of nothing. So sorry. My disease is one of selfish and self-centeredness. And you know, all I want to do is think about me. That's all I ever want to do and have for most of my life and have isolated myself so that I could just concern myself with me and my needs and my wants. And during this time, I had that amazing idea about other people. Like, what about other people? What about other people? What about the men who would die because they didn't know how to get well? What about my family? What about my friends? And I was able to somehow go to God with that and just ask, can you help me be of service? And, you know, it took a couple of weeks, but I walked through that depression, and I came out feeling like I was walking on air and truly able to see that I had returned to sanity in every aspect, and to thank God, you know, because I have been depressed for months and waked up 45 pounds heavier and never known what happened. So that's all I can say. God is great. God is powerful. God is loving. And God will lead me in the right direction. All I have to do is take the action. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Okay, Mary Grace H., you're up next, followed by Amy K.
I'm Mary Grace. I'm an alcoholic in Monterey, California. So as I was listening to people and after we read, his responsibilities, that was talking to me about the 12th step. Now, he may have not have known about the 12th step at that time, but that's what he was going to do. He was going to reach out. And when they talked about his sanity returned, he thanked God. To me, that was the second step, which has happened. Came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. He was restored to sanity because he then did the third step, was he made the decision and he took the action, which was his phone call. Now, I have to tell you that yesterday I tried to reach out, made three phone calls. I mean, I know that there could be more, and I didn't want to eat. That's not why I was reaching out. I'm trying to work my program. Two didn't answer. I haven't got a return call in one. The number changed. So it's like, okay. But, you know, I remember in another program when I did want to do some actions, I might call 10 people before I got a person. And if I wanted to eat, I think I would be willing to do that. And then the men who would die because they would not know how to get well. I have shared with a couple members of my family that I go to Overeaters Anonymous. And one was just like, oh, you know, she wasn't defensive, just sounded curious. The other one, you know, she'll probably never go to a 12-step program. I hate to say that, but I know my family very well. I do have a brother and a sister who followed me into another 12-step program. To be touched in such a way. And I've talked to a few friends since, you know, because they ask me or they share about how they're having problems with food, and then I tell them. But I feel like I could do more. I really feel like I could do more because people do die of this disease. And I think even in this program, sometimes we can be in denial about that, or it's not that bad. It's not as bad as the alcoholic. It's not as bad as the drug addict. I don't do the same thing. Well, I'm sorry. I've heard the story through the years, and I've heard people do the same things. And we can die. And this is serious. But I see those three steps in this reading. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Grace H. Okay, Amy Kay, you're up next, and after Amy Kay, I'll be taking some more names. We're on page 154, the fourth paragraph. So good morning, Amy Kay. Go ahead.
Good morning. Amy Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And I'm really grateful to be on the line this morning. I'm hearing about our responsibility to carry the message. And in order to carry the message, I have to make sure that I am well one day at a time and doing the work that it takes to stay well. So he thought of his family and of helping other alcoholics, and his sanity returned. Was he thinking of others and so his sanity returned, or did his sanity somehow return and then he started thinking of others? I think it looks like he started thinking of others and his sanity returned. So, and the other thing that strikes me is that he selected a church at random from the directory. So it matters less who I call than it does that I call. So that the fact that he picked up the receiver was the most important thing. It wasn't important that he find, you know, the church that would be just the right church for him. You know, he called at random. So I have lots of people on my list and I can call at random. I just want to share a brief experience. I was upset with my husband for whatever reason. He just, you know, wasn't doing what I wanted him to do in that moment. And it was, I don't remember if it was my birthday or our anniversary. And I just couldn't get out of myself. And I knew I needed, you know, to call another fellow to be talked out of my upset. And I made so many calls. And finally, I had a wonderful laugh with the fellow who was probably the 10th call who picked up. Because the first thing I said when I heard her voice was, "Oh, thank God." And that's just really how I felt in the moment. I felt that I had reached out and that God threw me a life raft. And I was willing in that moment to take hold and climb in and get out of myself. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Amy Kay. Okay, we're on page 154, the fourth paragraph, and although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Nadia B.
Okay, I got Nadia B. and two other people that I didn't get.
Bonnie J.M.
Bonnie J.M. And who came in with Bonnie?
Yeah, Bonnie J.M.
Okay, and who came in with Bonnie? Darla T.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Deborah G. Okay, let's stop right there. I'm sorry.
Kind of
coming in together. Okay, we're going to stop there. I have Nadia B., Bonnie J.M., I believe it was, Darla P., Ronnie B., Reggio, and Deborah G. So go ahead, please, Nadia.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Nadia B., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater. And I just, you know, I love listening to everybody share and how much I learned from you guys. You know, I was thinking he's talking about sanity here, and you know, I was thinking how insane my life was. You know, I didn't do what I wanted to do, and I always did what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to gain weight and lose weight and gain weight and lose weight. You know, every time I tried, you know, some type of rational thought would come in and said, you know what? To hell with all of it, to hell with your sponsees, to hell with your studies, to hell with your work. You're just going to eat, so what's the point? You know, and that was insanity. I didn't want to do that. I tried and I went to meetings with intent that, you know, that something would change and I would stop wanting to eat. And that was for years and years. And then, you know, eventually I came to this decision that I made to work the steps when I heard, you know, that was the solution. And, you know, and something happened to me. Something happened to me that I know that I couldn't produce for years. And, you know, that's what it is for me. That's what this depicts for me, that you know, we try and try and try, and we have the best intentions. But this, you know, insanity does not allow, it doesn't vanish on its own. And so, you know, today I was thinking, you know, he is so grateful to God because he knows. He knows in the heart of his heart that something stepped in, something bigger than him, that restored him, that changed him. I did not change myself. And today, you know, I don't have to fight the way that I fought for years, right? That I don't have to act on that first thought as I did for years and years and years. And I couldn't stop myself to save my life. And so, you know, I'm so grateful today for this God that I have learned exists. And that I have learned through the work, and that I have the sanity today as long as I want it, as long as I want to stay conscious, as long as I want to do this work. And, you know, I can be responsible. I can be responsible. I can't be responsible for my own recovery and, you know, and be responsible in my life today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Okay, Bonnie J.M., I believe it was, right? Followed by Darla P. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, I'm Bonnie J.M. I'm from Arizona. And, oh my gosh, this paragraph means a lot to me because, you know, when I came in, I don't know, the early 80s, I really thought I was one of the most generous people in the world. And this program really got me in touch with how selfish I could be and was. And to some degree, still am. And when I asked the question to myself, I asked myself a lot of questions. And if I asked myself, just in terms of this program, what am I not doing enough? Where I'm the weakest is in asking for help. I'm great at being generous and putting out and helping others. I'm not so good at asking for help for myself. I've learned to be a lot better with that, but the one thing I know is allowing people to love me is also a form of generosity and not selfishness. And you know, I remember once when I was singing and first went on the stage to sing in front of a group of people, and the leader of the program I was on looked at me and said, "Now that you've got it, go give it away." And I think of that often in this program, too, that it is my job and it is generous to be giving away what I've gotten and also to allow other people to love me. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie J.M. Okay, good morning, Darla. You're up next, followed by Ronnie B. Darla P., star one to unmute, please.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, now I hear you. Go ahead, Darla.
Okay. Thank you. This is Darla P. I'm a grateful recovering member of OA. And I just wanted to say that in this program, sometimes we get there quickly and sometimes we get there slowly. And I'm one of those that got here slowly. And I think it's because I am bipolar. It takes me longer for things to sink in. And without the people in the program, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say in meetings, I just didn't pick up the phone. And I know for myself that that is a major key for me. I need to pick up the phone when I'm craving something to keep myself abstinent. And when I do that, the craving passes. So it's important for me to do that on a daily basis and to keep connected with my fellows. And in that way, I'm sharing my program,
I'm sharing my growing, and I've learned from experience that when I don't pick up that phone, that's when I relapse. And if I relapse, then I'm not working my program. And what is it about not working the program? I'm not using the tools. I'm not going to meetings. I'm not doing the things, working the steps, reading the big book, not doing the things I need to do to keep myself abstinent. So I am so grateful today for this program and so grateful for the people in it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Darla P. Okay, Ronnie B., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Ronnie, compulsive overeater in Missouri, and happy to be here and to be able to hear all of the shares that took place, because so much of that is true for me. You know, if I reach out, I do better. If I get on the phone meetings, I do better. If I pray and meditate, I do better. So, you know, the insanity of this disease is, so why don't I always want to do that? You know, sometimes I just don't want to do the work. But I do know today that if I don't do the work, I won't get the good results. It's just so simple. You know, in technology, we call it GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You know, I must put the good in to get the good out. So I've been working on that lately, and I appreciate what I heard other people say about reaching out can be the hardest thing. I can do outreach calls, and I can see how you're doing. But to make the call when the craving sets in, you know, to let God with skin help me, it's still a challenge. I'd like to say it's even gotten so much better, but it hasn't. You know, the only thing that's improved is my consciousness and my awareness and talking with my sponsor about it, about how that is still difficult for me. So one of the reasons why I tell on myself in the meeting, that certainly doesn't make me look better. You know, it certainly doesn't make me sound desirable, but it does make me honest. So in this program, it's rigorous honesty. When I am in a good place, to share that I'm in a good place. For today, my food is in a good place. I'm grateful. But it wasn't the other day. It wasn't overeating. It wasn't eating sugar. It just wasn't. Everything seemed to be hard. And I had to let my sponsor know, I don't know why this is happening today, but it is. And guess what? It lifted. So my message to myself and maybe someone else is, a burden shared is a burden halved. And I have found that to be true for me. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate you being here. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ronnie B. Good morning, Reggie. It is your turn, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service and everybody here this morning. And my name is Reggie, gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. Boy, what beautiful shares this morning. And it's always amazing to me how much there is in any one paragraph, and always preceded by the other ones, you know. And Bill actually had been working with folks for 6 months up to this point, you know. So we had
Reggie, you just went out of range. You're breaking in and out a lot, Reggie.
Is this better?
That's better. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry. It's a new headset, and it's just not working well. But, you know, he likely wouldn't have picked up the phone if he hadn't been doing the other work, you know. So it's a lot of this is the power of the, you know, the 12th step. And you know, I thought about this too. What about his responsibility that, you know, in reading this today? I thought about my family and, you know, on the East Coast, and I don't see them that often, but they count on me. They count on me to be there, you know, not just to be a body, but to be there and listen to them and have conversations with them. And, you know, when I'm in the food, I'm just not there for anybody, let alone myself. And then the men who would die because they would not know how to get well. And, you know, there are so many of us out there helping folks today, but I just finished the 12th step with someone yesterday, doing the 12th with someone yesterday. And it was, you know, it was just such a joy and such a blessing, you know, that I would to do that work. And I wouldn't have experienced it if I had not. And, you know, and for whatever reasons, it was, you know, we worked together and it was a good thing. And now she'll be going out to help other people. And it's just amazing. But, you know, I wrote down here what someone else says. It's like, pick up the darn phone, right? I mean, that this there's a pause here. He paused a couple of times, you know, before he ever picked up the phone. But he did pause to stop and think about what was going on. And then he did pick up the phone. And so it's a great kind of slogan, you know, pick up the phone for me. But, you know, pick up the phone before you pick up something you don't want to pick up. And then, you know, his sanity returned. He did the pause. He thought he was able to think it through, thank goodness. And then his sanity returned, and he thanked God. And boy, that what a thing to thank God for, you know, to have sanity, help another human being rather than to get, you know, bogged down and lost in the food for God knows how long, you know, which he likely would have done if he went into the bar. So it's such a blessing and such a gift. I feel so grateful every morning listening to you all, and you know, the book continues to come alive, and the options from this program, life grows and becomes more alive every day. So thank you all for being here, everything that you share, and all the people who do so much service to make it possible. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. Okay, Deborah G., go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathleen, and thank you all for making this meeting possible. Oh, I'm so grateful for meetings and so grateful for this paragraph because it continues to teach me. This book is my greatest teacher of who I truly am. And it's interesting how I love that. Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. And, you know, I can so quickly get into self-centeredness, self-this, self-absorbed, thinking I got to figure this out, trying to figure out my problems. Well, I take the lead and think I can do it better than anyone else, including God. And it all it gives me, you know, and I wish I could remember, is complete insanity because I'm not going anywhere with it. But when I just totally trust and turn it over and work with somebody else, whether it's calling someone or a sponsee calling in or doing step work with a sponsee or someone or a 10-step with someone. I mean, there's so many beautiful, beautiful things that come to me or I can go to that can help me to get relieved of this sanity, and that's working with another person, especially one that's suffering because they're in their situation. It's kind of cool because it lifts us both out. I love it. I'm so grateful for this program. Much, much love to everyone. Have a beauty day.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, we have about time for a 2 minute share. Who would like to take us out this morning?
This is Nancy L.
Great. Go ahead, Nancy.
In Georgia.
Thanks.
Am I being heard?
Yes, you are. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Good
go ahead,
morning,
Nancy. Thanks.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. And I want to say thank you for all the readers and all the people who've shared this morning. It's been such a spiritual time. I have just been sitting here thinking about this particular person who was trying to save his own sanity by helping someone else. And I've been reminded of how my God has put me in a position because my face-to-face meeting, even though we were meeting, there were just about two or three of us. It had our numbers had dropped so much. So there was two or three of us hanging on. We have lost members due to death. We have lost members whose obesity has placed them in able to walk, and now they're immobile. But this program has helped me so much, and I have an opportunity. I've put this on our website, on the OA website, instead of a face-to-face. We've been doing telephone meetings on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And the beautiful part of this is that I've turned my name in and my phone number, and I said, if anybody would like to do service for this Tuesday at 1 o'clock telephone meeting, if you'd like to reach out to other people. I have had people from all over the United States call and say, how can I help? And so I want to say that again, how much I appreciate people who, they're not even close to Georgia, but yet they have been wonderfully generous to reach out and help carry this message to other people who are suffering. So I want to say again, I'm Nancy L. in Georgia, and if anyone would be willing to help me on Tuesday at 1 o'clock carry this message to others, my name is Nancy L. My number is 706-594-7145, and I hope that's appropriate to do now. But I feel like God laid that on my heart to say, this is how I can carry the message, and this is how
somebody else
can help me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. Thank you. Okay, and normally at the end of the meeting is, if you're new, we'll be able to take your number. So, okay, well, thank you everyone so much who shared this morning, and a special thanks to Team Monday this morning, Shelley E., Lorraine N., KP, Devorah S., Kara L., Janice PM, Dawn B., and Mo H. Really appreciate your service this morning. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Devorah S., would you please read a vision for you?
Here I am, and thank you so much, and everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Devorah S., and here I am. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us.
Devorah, we lost you. Okay, I'm gonna finish this. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each
day. Here I am. Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who was still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.